There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the hour. And this segment of the show brought to you by our friends at Harry's. Why don't you join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's? I've been shaving for, 4 years, 4.5 years with Harry's. Right now, the best deal I have seen in all 4.5 years. They got a five-blade razor for you, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, and you're paying $3. Plus, you get free shipping. That would be it. So if you've been on the fence about Harry's, here's your chance to find out what it's all about. Just use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. I've talked to you about the great shave. That's the key to the whole deal. The blades are fantastic. The shave's fantastic. And now let's start piling on. How about paying half of what you were paying before at the grocery store, the pharmacy for those blades? And the convenience of having them show up at the house. One less thing you got to remember to do is pick up blades because, well, they're delivered at a amount that works for you. You figure out with harrys.com how many blades you use a month. That's how many shows up right there in the mailbox, and you're good to go. Plus, they got that 100% quality guarantee. And for a limited time, Harry's has a special offer for y'all. New customers, that means I can't get this deal, but new customers can get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. It means you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. So go to harrys.com today and join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. Use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer and let them know I sent you. Help support the show when you go to harrys.com and make sure to use that code MOBILE. All right, it's been too long. It's been a couple months since our buddy James Patterson, Alabama Consumer Law, has been in studio with us. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you for having me.
There we go. Put the right mic on. You moved my...
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to have you here and a lot to talk about here. I want to talk about something that happened last month, and then something that's being discussed today. Let's go to the breaking news as of today in this discussion of robocalls. There's a good chance here. Like my phone was just as I was talking to you about Harry's, my phone was ringing, and let's see the two. Neither of those numbers. Look at the numbers on my phone. None of those have contacts, right? If I knew the person, so you see all the calls today that have come into my phone. No contact info.
It looks like my phone.
Those are all robocalls that have come into my cell phone. I mean, I've gotten, James, I don't answer the, unless I know who you are, I don't answer the phone. So if y'all need that, you leave me a message or send me a text because I do not answer the phone if I don't know the name.
That obviously is a big problem in our country. We're all facing it. Everybody listening to the radio show right now, we all get this daily. And so what's going on, obviously, that's a huge deal. We are getting frustrated yes. with the amount of robocalls and we don't know who's calling us. So... yesterday with Congress, a bipartisan thing, which okay. is very right. rare today.
Take note, yes.
They've come up with a bill. It's called TRACED. I forget exactly what it all means, but telephone something, something, something. But the bill is going to come out, and it came out of the Senate committee, so it's going to go eventually in front of the Senate. It's supposed to put some more teeth into these protections that we're supposed to have in place against robocalls.
Right. People say, hey, wait a second. Do not call registry. We did that. We did that.
Yeah. And that's been sort of a failure. And it's because technology stays, you know, with these robocaller companies and all these folks, they stay way ahead of normal technology. I mean, they find little ways to get to us. And now, I think I read something where last year the amount of robocalls was twice as much as the year before.
Yeah, so this, it says, according to Consumer Reports, in 2018, a record 48 billion, yeah. that's with a B, y'all, billion robocalls were placed to U.S. phones.
Yes, that's a lot.
They said it averages out to 1,500 robocalls per second.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it's just it's crazy. We almost can't use our phone.
Right. So there's a thing, you know, there's one part of this, and they'll talk about, oh, people get scammed and phone scams and all that. But if you're, you know, if you're as cynical as I am, you're, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is they're ringing my stinking phone all the time.
It's a privacy issue.
Yeah.
Now this phone is directly in contact with our lives. I mean, it's a privacy issue now. And that's something that even the senators talking about this bill over the last couple of days is saying, look, it's not just annoyance, it's a privacy matter. People have their phones on them all the time, mm-hmm. everywhere you go, and this thing is blowing up, and it's not anybody you want to talk to. So yeah. What can we do about it? So the three main things that came out of this this bill that will be coming, one, the fines for robocalls is going to go up. Under the TCPA, it's like $500 per call. Now it's going to be $10,000 per call.
Well, that's significant.
It's a big
that's
jump.
That's a significant
now,
jump.
Now, of course, you know, the next question is, well, how do you find somebody if you can't find them?
Yeah, you knew my next question.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's, again, it's a deterrent because I think one stat I saw where half of the robocalls are actually real companies that are doing these things.
Okay.
So that is going to be something that's going to go after
company. Yeah, we need to let folks know because here's the key. There's half of them, let's say half of them that are from criminal enterprises. They don't care that they're scammers. They're criminals.
They don't care. They're just trying to get you to get suckered into whatever they're trying to do.
Okay, exactly. So those people are. But these are for the people that have. They have a website. This company does. They have a business license.
Yeah, debt collectors. You know, your normal type businesses that call you a whole bunch.
Right.
I mean, that's what that's supposed to protect, and then add to the penalties if your company starts blowing up your phone.
Okay.
After you told them, hey, stop blowing up my phone.
Right.
Oh, we're going to continue blowing up your phone. Well, now you're going to get $10,000 fine. You know, per call. Yeah. So that's one benefit. That's a big jump. So the second thing that came out is the statute of limitations. Right now, it's only 1 year statute of limitations to bring a claim or bring a suit against these companies by the FTC or even under private ways like what my firm does. So that's going to get from 1 year to 3 years now. So that's good.
Okay.
So if you get robocalls and you can prove it was a company back 2.5 years ago, well, now you can go back that far and file a suit, where right now, as the law is now, you only got 1 year.
Is it more of individuals would file these versus a class action?
Well, there's been a lot of class actions that go on. My firm did one a year ago, and they're involved in a couple. And so you have some big class actions that go on, but there are some individual suits. And from the individual standpoint, my firm's handled these before, where you might have some other federal statutes that you're bringing, like a Fair Credit Reporting Act claim or something else, and then you bring in this claim for the TCPA because you got some calls from somebody you're suing from a creditor. So they're almost like a secondary claim when you're bringing it individually. But there are classes out there that still go on. So that statute of limitations is a big deal because it's going from 1 year to 3 years. So that's going to open that up. The third thing, which I think is a big deal, is now you're going to have the telecoms, you know, Verizon, AT&T, are going to have to put on the phone a designation showing where the call is coming from. So when you get that 251 number, like I get or you get, and we know it's a mobile number, but we don't know who it is.
Right.
It's supposed to pop up somewhere on your screen. This is going to be some kind of update that happens that says, hey, this is calling from India or Pakistan.
Right, so this
or
is what
Moscow.
Y'all have talked about before, where we're getting calls not only from our own area code, a lot of times from your own prefix.
Yes.
You'll get that, and then
it's spoofing. That's what it's called, spoofing.
So with this new change, it would say, even though the number shows 251-343-0106, which, by the way, that's our call-in line, this is actually a number emanating from...
It's going to show a location.
Well, how long until they can figure out how to get around that?
That's a great question. Well, right now, it's going to take, according to the bill, last time I looked, they were going to give the telecoms 18 to 24 months to come up with the software to put that on our phones. So they're going to have, you know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight, obviously. But it's something that's going to eventually take place. And then that's a great question. What are they going to do to get around that?
Right, because that's usually what happens, right? So so something happens or some bother in technology, some way that they're getting over, then takes a long time. Government finally reacts, and government comes up with, okay, well, everybody's going to have to do this. Well, in the meantime, the people that are trying to do this have figured out a way to get around the thing that's now being implemented.
That's right. I think of like the Mission Impossible movies or spy movies where they'll show a screen and they're bouncing, you know, a signal off everything you can get to. And that may be what the bad bad guys do eventually. But I think what'll happen really with that part of it, and that's more from a practical matter for us as users of the phones, is we'll be able to see, hey, we see a number coming. Even though the calls are still going to come in, we can at least go, hey, I don't have to answer that call. Because I'm sure you're like me and everybody else listening. Sometimes you're like, I think that is a number I need to answer, and you answer it, and you hear the auto dialer and the stuff. So that'll give us at least a little more protection. And I think based on all this part of the statute, like I said, this statute's going to have more teeth. I think it'll start slowing these things down. They'll still happen, but I think it'll start slowing down some.
Okay, and we come back, I want to talk more about that, because it'll slow it down some, but then it'll increase again. And also, what they do last month when it came to credit bureau reporting security? We'll find out more. James Patterson, Alabama Consumer Law, our guest, and we'll be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 123 FM Talk 106.5, and welcome back. It is Midday Mobile. Checking with our buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. And speaking of coins, you've got some Trump, they're not coins, right? They're silver rounds. Explain that to us.
I love the fact that you correct yourself, because you've been listening so long to two guys in change and us on there. So the difference between a coin and just a generic ounce of silver, a silver round is a coin is struck by a government mint and has a monetary value. This is a 1 ounce fine silver piece. It's a circle, it's round, but it has Trump on the one side, the White House on the other. It is not monetarized, but it is fine silver. So you're picking up an ounce of silver, beautiful, cool design. And strangely enough, Sean, we don't sell one or two of those at a time. We're selling those in twos and fours. You just got to explain that, why that's going on.
I tell you what I dig here is if you got a guy, like somebody, maybe that's not their birthday right now, maybe you're even looking forward to Christmas this year or something like that, and you have the biggest Trump fan ever, biggest fan of President Trump. You present this at a Christmas, you're like the winner with them. You got the thing that they remember you by.
Oh, not only are they going to remember you, all of their friends and family are going to remember, because they're going to be bringing that out at every second, every chance to show that off and go, hey guys, look what we got for Mobile Bay Coins. Isn't this cool?
All right, so people can pick these up now in twos, fours, six, or wait, is there a limit? How many they can get at one time?
Well, you can get as many as you want until we run out. This was our second shipment of these. We're not sure if we're going to be able to get a third shipment or not. So this is one of those items you may want to get now and not dawdle on too much, because we may not have them for terribly much longer.
All right, y'all get your Trump silver round when you go check them out at Mobile Bay Coins. Give folks directions.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always send us a message on Facebook. Just look up Mobile Bay Coins there. Or, like, you know, check out our website as well.
All right, Angelo, we'll see you soon.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. And we continue our conversation with James Patterson, Alabama Consumer Law. Hey, if people want to find you online, what do you do?
You can visit the website. It's alalaw.com, A-L-A-L-A-W.com, or follow me on Twitter, alaconsumerlaw.com or alaconsumerlaw.
Yeah, it's a great follow, and I'll retweet something from James here shortly, and you can just grab it from there. Always want to get your take on the hearings in Washington on the credit reporting. Well, you and I first started talking a lot on the air during the breach.
Yes, we did, about the Equifax breach.
Right, and so that's still alive in Congress just last month.
Yes, and Congress had some hearings, and they brought the CEOs of all the three major credit bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, Experian, and some other secondary-type people. But mostly they wanted to grill the CEOs about, hey, what are you doing? What kind of protections are you putting in place? What's going on with our data? Because it's our data, and this is obviously a problem because of the Equifax breach. And so some of the senators really got into it. I think one of the AOC, what's her name?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah. Yes. She, I know a lot of folks don't like her, but she had some good comments or a good statement that she had made to the one of the Equifax guys, the CEO, and just really breaking down for us simple people to understand mm-hmm. how it works. And then one of the senators also asked the Equifax CEO if he would.
This one I like.
Would he, based on what he was telling Congress, you know, we're doing all this stuff to protect our data. And she said, okay, well, if you're doing all that stuff, why don't you let us know about, can you put out your Social Security number right now? Because obviously it will be protected, right? He said, I'm not going to let you know about my social.
So he gets out, says how everything's okay, all of us that were compromised during the breach, everything's fine, they've done all the security. So the member of Congress said, so give us your social.
Yeah, give us your social. If you're so confident in your product give us your social. No, ma'am, no thank you.
Should we feel? Those of us have been, if y'all have forgotten, it shouldn't have forgotten what happened just, what, two?
A year and a half ago, back late 2017.
When a whole bunch of us had not only our socials.
All our data, our social, our street address, credit card numbers, everything is 100. And it was, I think the last count was like 160 million folks.
I mean, all our stuff, like not only the social, but the information that the crook would have to use to go with the social, yes, to seem like
your name, your address, mm-hmm. That kind of some driver license got out too. So Congress was wondering, what have you done and what can we do? And part of what Congress was looking into is, do we need to basically blow up what's going on with this thing? The Fair Credit Reporting Act, that's the act that protects us consumers mm-hmm. and runs these consumer protection agencies. So some of the members of Congress are saying, look, because that was an act that was made in the 70s, and we're in today, 2019, things have changed a lot in the credit industry. Do we need to just blow that thing up and redo this and from the ground up? And that was a lot of the discussion between Congress and the CEOs of the credit bureaus. Of course, you can imagine their response. No, we're working on products. We're trying to make this more consumer-oriented now instead of us-oriented now.
Okay, but I mean, there's at least two things that stand out to me. And number one is protecting the information, de-weaponizing the information once it gets out. But the initial thing is not letting it get out. And if we remember Equifax, wasn't it just somebody that didn't update software on the computer?
That's right. It was an update that didn't happen, and then the bad guys were able to just go online and start
for a period of time.
Yeah, this happened over, what was it, 6 or 7 months. It wasn't
just going on in, getting them some information and coming on out.
And it wasn't just one day thing, and it happened over months and months and months to get that data. So, those were the kind of concerns that Congress is bringing up on behalf of us to say, hey, what are you going to do to protect our data? One thing that came out of the hearings was, is there too much power between the three bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, Experian? Those are your three big ones. There's mm-hmm. some smaller ones here and there, but those are the guys, when you go get a house a car, that's what they're pulling, all three credit reports, or one of the big three.
Right.
So one of the senators, I think, talked about, hey, do we need to open this up more to, you know, capitalism, make it where there's more bureaus, there's less power with these three, mm-hmm. and will that sort of do a check and balance of itself and make these companies protect our data even more when you have more companies out there.
So what was the takeaway there?
There was some mixed reactions. I think some of it was, okay, now you're going to have a whole bunch more companies with access to our data that could be exposed. Yeah. That's one issue. Of course, the bureaus are like, look, we don't need more competition, and we're fine. So there was just a lot of discussion about that. So I think the takeaway at the end of the day was the system right now is broke. Everybody's trying to figure out a way to fix it, and we don't know exactly what to do yet, but it was their point to hear from the CEOs and see what's going on and maybe what's going to happen in the future, at least from the company's perspectives. And they keep saying all the good things. You know, they keep saying things that sound great, like, hey, we're going to do certain things to protect everybody, but, you know, what are you really doing?
All right. Well, when we all figure that out, we're going to find out from you. Once again, online, somebody wants to follow you.
Yeah, just come see us on the website, allalaw.com, or go to Twitter, allaconsumerlaw.
Always a pleasure, James. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, James Patterson, our guest, coming right back. Mobile City Councilwoman Jeannie Gregory joins us. Lots to talk about with Gina when we return to Midday Mobile. Right after Dr. Bill's update, I can tell you all this. It's raining.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk, 106.5, and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this rainy Thursday. Dr. Bill says rain's hanging on, off and on for a few more days, and clearing by next week. Yeah, right, when you're back in the office. Saturday doesn't look as bad as tomorrow, so that's a little positivity, a little positive spin on it as well. Talking about a positive spin as well, because I want you all to say hello to Mobile City Councilperson Jeannie Gregory, my member of the City Council, and also a friend for a long time. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, especially on this rainy day. I get to be inside and stay a little bit dry. Anyway.
That's right. The roof has not leaked in minutes here. Yeah, it's good.
I thought you were going to say something like, not like at Government Plaza. I knew that's where
Did I say anything about using Flex Seal to seal up?
No, but I knew you were thinking.
I might have been tempted, but I did not do it. Good to see you.
Thanks. Good to be seen.
Yeah,
that's what
absolutely.
I tell everybody. Very good to be seen.
I'm so happy. Let's talk about this because diagnosed with cancer and this happened. When did you find out?
It has been just a little over a year since I was diagnosed. Diagnosed in March. And listen to this. It was a year ago today that I had my double mastectomy.
Wow.
And guess what else today is?
What?
My 22nd wedding anniversary.
Holy cow.
So on our 21st wedding anniversary, Todd and I, my husband Todd, spent the entire day and night at the hospital together.
Well, you know, if anything reinforces the anniversary.
We will never forget our 21st wedding anniversary, which also helps me remember how long it's been since I had the mastectomy. So, yeah, a year ago I was in the hospital.
And now here you are.
Mm-hmm. And here I am.
I don't want to talk about a bigger thing, how you're using what you went through to help out other people. It doesn't surprise me because that's the kind of person you are. But I want to go back through your personal journey as well.
Okay.
Because, I've been through this as a son of a woman who went through this and is still now 30 years later,
yeah,
as vibrant as she can be through it. But this was a very hard process. I remember going through it as a kid when she was getting treatment, and you did the same.
Yeah, and I'm sure when your mom went through it, the treatment was different. The drugs were different to a great degree. So these days, they've made it much easier for those of us who are going through chemotherapy to not get so sick. I mean, that's the big thing. When you hear about chemotherapy, everybody just is, you know, really just frightened, I think, to even think about what that will mean for them. But the good thing is that medicine has changed. They have found other ways to treat the cancer. Some of the treatments, like the chemotherapy drugs themselves, are the same in a lot of respects, but what they do to help you get through it is different. When I talk to women like your mom who are survivors for 30, 40 years, they didn't get Benadryl and Pepcid and all of these things as a pre-cocktail like I was able to get. And I've got to tell you, with that Benadryl, that was some of the best stuff I ever had. They talk about cocktail.
Right.
It was. I have to tell you a story. You know that I did a Facebook Live.
Right.
We did those episodes the entire year, and we had some video segments that matched up with that. So very, very first day doing chemotherapy, didn't really know what to expect. I had been back there and seen the chairs and talked to a few people, but wasn't really that much aware of exactly how everything was going to go and how I would feel. But so I'm in there and I have two different camera crews. I had Devin Walsh and her photographer with her from Channel 5, and then the photography crew that was following me through with MCI. All the photographers, reporters in the room with me, and I was starting the treatment, and the nurse gave me Benadryl. And it was this very first shot of Benadryl, and I was just talking, and we were carrying on a conversation. All of a sudden, it hit. It was just like, I don't even know how to describe it. It all went up to my head, and I could feel it going down my body, and I was kind of losing control at that point.
Right.
It was like I had 4 shots of tequila at that point.
Just from the Benadryl.
From the Benadryl, and I said, you guys are going to have to go, because I knew at that point it would not be pretty.
Right.
You know? So that was my first my first time getting the Benadryl, and over time you get a little bit more used to it, so it doesn't affect you quite to that degree.
Right.
But that was the first time I had had it, and the nurse just looks at me, she goes, yeah, you like that. It was pretty strange, and a lot of people are able to sleep through their treatments because of the Benadryl.
But, right, and that's the point of it, right?
It was just some of the things. If you can keep a sense of humor about some of this stuff, right, it's much easier. And I feel like I'm a comedian sometimes when I speak to groups, because there are some funny things, and I like to share those. And I said, I need to take this show on the road.
Well, but it's a good, the attitude you're bringing is good, because the cancer diagnosis for so many people, it's just everybody shrinks back, yeah, from it. And mm-hmm, and you know, I remember, you know, what it was like back then in my family, but hearing from you, that's good. But there's still the situation that the people that are getting the treatment, you have Todd, you have, mm-hmm, you know, people around you to help support,
yeah,
but not everybody does. And facing cancer and treatment like this without backup, yeah, without, mm-hmm, people around you that, yeah, can get you from place to place, this is sure, a big deal
for anybody. If you are basically alone, it is daunting in and of itself just to get the diagnosis, you're right, and then to think about how often you have to go in for treatment and what that treatment entails. If you don't have transportation, it's really a tough thing for you. And that's where this program with the Cancer Society comes in, and it's why I agreed to be a part of it and help spread the word. I do have a husband. I have a vehicle. I, mm-hmm, have people at my church. I have other friends who had volunteered to drive me back and forth to treatment. Fortunately, after we saw how all of these things would affect me, I was able to drive myself, and so that was perfectly fine. And
But not everybody is
in that same position. And when you start looking at how many people are diagnosed and how many of them really do need treatment for cancer, any kind of treatment for cancer, if they don't have that transportation, they have to start figuring out, well, how do I get there? How long is it going to take me to get there? How will I feel after treatment? On and on and on. And to drive that point home, and I told the folks over at the American Cancer Society, I actually was sitting next to a gentleman in a chair next to me, and he was talking to a nurse, and you know, you sit kind of close together, so I could overhear a little, mm-hmm, bit, didn't mean to eavesdrop, but right, I could hear it. So he was asking her about bus routes. You know, how could he, you know, find out where the bus routes were to get him to treatment and then back home? And I just thought, going through this, you've got to worry about finding a bus and all the different stops along the way to get to your treatment. And then who knows how you'll feel afterwards to get back on that bus, make a lot of stops to go back home. So just very, very difficult. And I also don't think that many people truly understand what all the Cancer Society has to offer. I didn't.
Right.
And until I got myself into having cancer, until I was diagnosed
so
with cancer.
Yeah. Darn you,
until I was diagnosed and I happened to have a good friend who was on their board of directors, I wasn't aware of what the Cancer Society had to offer either. So she took me into their office and, oh, they fitted me with the very first wig I had, gave me a big old bag just full of skincare products and makeup and things that they are given to, you know, hand out to women like me who are going through this and could use some, you know, some good makeup and, mm-hmm, concealer and things that will make me feel better. Of course,
right,
getting a wig and a free wig at that is very important. I mean, I don't think many women out there know that they could go to the American Cancer Society and get a wig. Because I've heard from other women who say, oh, I really can't afford a wig. You know, I'd like to have one, but I can't afford it. Well, go to the American Cancer Society. That's what they do. In fact, I have donated some of my wigs that I'm not wearing or didn't look right to them, and they will get this one day.
Right.
The one that I happen to be wearing today. They will get it. But this program is called Road to Recovery. And the funny thing, I was looking at it, they use the RTR, you know, for, mm-hmm, just short. And so I so I figured, I said, no, it doesn't mean Roll Tide Roll. It is Road to Recovery. That's the name of their program, so that if you do find yourself in a situation where you need a ride for whatever reason, they're not going to check your background to make sure that, you know, you truly do you know, need a ride or that you don't have transportation. If you call them and you need a ride to and from your chemotherapy or doctor appointments or whatever it is, just give them a call. And they have volunteer drivers who have been checked out. Their backgrounds have been looked at, so they are qualified to go to pick you up, get you there safe, and then take you back home safely. You don't have to worry about, you know, somebody,
right,
who would take advantage of you or, you know, do something that you know, would make you fearful. So I think it's a great program, and people just need to take advantage of it. But with that, they need volunteers. It's a great program. But just last year, they had over 1,600 requests, and they could only meet 720 of those because they didn't have enough drivers to get people to and from their appointments.
Gina, that when I saw that stat, that was eye-opening and also saddened me, that I'm thinking about the people in that position going through what they're going through. So 1,621 requests for transportation, and less than half of those people were able to get that ride that they need, so they didn't have to try to figure out how to get the bus route home after getting chemotherapy.
Yeah, or start calling everybody they know to see, hey, can you take me? Can you take me? And if they go through chemotherapy and radiation as long as I had to go through chemotherapy and radiation, eventually some of those friends are going to get a little tired of
That's fair enough, right? This is not like exactly, hey, I broke my leg, I need a ride home from the emergency room that one time. This goes on for, in your case, how long
did you? I had 20 weeks total of chemotherapy, and then I had 5 weeks of radiation, but within that 5 weeks, it was every day. It was 5 days a week for 5 weeks. So there are a lot of rides to and from your chemotherapy, radiation, wherever to whichever facility you're going to, there are a lot of rides back and forth that you will need.
All right, can you hang out a second?
Sure.
Because I want to talk about this when we come back, how y'all can help and how you can volunteer to be able to help these folks get to where they need to go and get home, and continue our conversation with Mobile City Councilwoman Gina Gregory, cancer survivor and a friend in here at FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Heads up, another great event tonight, Cottage Hill Package. Two tastings going on tonight. Pretoria Brewing is going to be out there starting at 6 with a couple different IPAs, some ales and stouts for you to check out. Plus, this is the hot new trend that you can look at a picture of me and understand that I'm not following this trend. The low-calorie adult beverages out there, the truly spiked and sparkling water. The hottest brands out there, sparkling seltzer water on the market. Boston Beer Company is going to be in the front of Cottage Hill Package, giving you samples of several different flavors for free as well. That goes on from 6 to 8 tonight. And then Serta Brewing Company is going to be at Cottage Hill Package tomorrow night. Talk about super local. Russ and the awesome crew from Mobile's own Serta Brewing is going to be in the back bar introducing some delicious new beers, including their Jubilator Helles Doppelbach, their Clear Prop Porter, their Homeport Hefeweizen, and their barley wine that spent some time in a bourbon barrel, including Elijah Craig barrel donated by Cottage Hill Package. So the Cottage Hill Package folks, the Manis Boys, are going to be there with the folks from Serta. That's tomorrow night at 6, and tonight two tastings as well at Cottage Hill Package, corner Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, or make sure to like them over on Facebook. All right, we continue our conversation with Gina Gregory, and we're talking about, okay, two things. This is, we're talking about what you went through and your eye-opening in your journey dealing with your cancer, and then what you saw around it and how you say, hey, there's an opportunity for us to give back and help out right here at home.
Well, I did. When I was diagnosed, certainly the first thought was not, let me go on Facebook and do all these live episodes and make some videos and things like that. When you're first diagnosed, well, for me at any rate, it was just a surreal kind of moment. I knew there was something up. I mean, go back a little further. I'd had a mammogram, always consistent with getting my mammograms every year. Had just had a mammogram. 3 weeks later, I went to my gynecologist for just your annual exam. And, you know, he was feeling around as they do. And he said, there's something funny here. And he said, you just had a mammogram because I just got your report. I said, right.
He said, well, I should be fine. I just got the mammogram.
I should be perfectly fine. So he said, well, let's just be sure. So he set me up for an ultrasound, and I went to get the ultrasound, and at that point, I could feel them moving back and forth across a certain area, just up and down, constantly. Mm-hmm. I thought, okie dokie, you know, something is truly up. So from there, we wound up going to see a surgeon who immediately took a biopsy. I also had an MRI done. He called my husband and me to come back in the office and basically says, yes, you have breast cancer. And I think Todd and I were just sort of shell-shocked because we never thought, and nobody ever does,
right,
that it could happen to me. I mean, I will never have breast cancer. That's just not in my family. It's nothing that I have ever even considered, because for me, it was always going to be skin cancer because I grew up on the beach,
mm-hmm.
and I've already had some instances of, you know, some basal cells, things like that, or heart problems because of my dad, and my dad's
family.
In the hospital right now with some heart issues. And so I always thought that those were the things that if I was going to wind up with something
really
serious.
But there you were with the doctor saying, no, you have breast cancer.
But suddenly, yeah, I have breast cancer, so now what? And once you get into that process, it becomes kind of a whirlwind. And the surgeon was trying to move us forward to, let's get you an oncologist, let's do this, let's do that. And we finally said, let's just slow down a little bit. I want to get a second opinion because, you know, you should.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should get a second opinion. You may or may not be happy with the, you know, the first team. You might want to look somewhere else. So we wound up doing that. I went in for my second opinion, and they just verified everything. Yes, you know, it definitely is breast cancer, and here's what we're looking at, and here's what we would suggest. And so, anyway. March, I was diagnosed. April 4th, I was in the hospital getting a double mastectomy.
Wow.
And we decided on the double mastectomy because the cancer that I had was so obviously hard to detect. Mine was in the lobule area. Most women, the cancer's in the ducts. Well, mine was lobular, which is I think there's only 5% of women who get it in the lobule. So it was much more difficult to detect. In fact, one of the surgeons said, yes, yours is a very sneaky cancer.
Wow.
So we decided on the bilateral because of that. The last thing we wanted to do was come back 2 years later and do
right.
the same thing.
Right.
You know, so, and I thought, well, you know, come on. Who cares? Let's just go ahead and do them
both. While we're here, huh?
While we're here, let's just do them both. And we had talked to the plastic surgeon a bit, and he said that it is much more difficult to get any sort of symmetry with, you know, not
right.
having them both.
Right. Not having them matched.
Yes. Having them matched
yes.
equally.
Yes.
So we went for the bilateral, and the surgery for me was really very easy. I elected to spend a second night in the hospital because why not? You know, we got
right.
the nurses there to take care of me. My mom had come up, and she had stayed with me all night the first night, and I just said, y'all all go home, get rest, because you'll need to help
right.
me around the house, you know, when I do get home. So. But that part of it was easy. I was up and about pretty quick. The worst part of it, and for anybody who's had surgery, if you wind up with drains, you know, to
yep.
take all the fluids
mm-hmm.
out, that was the worst part of the whole thing. Having to, you know, just try to situate yourself with these things that are coming
crazy.
Out of your
yeah.
body, and it hurts. The surgery, the surgical part itself didn't hurt because, I mean, I'm still numb. Everything was numb. I didn't feel any of that. It was fine. It was where the drains were coming out. So we did that, and because I was doing reconstruction, they put what is called expanders in immediately to start stretching my skin.
Okay.
Because when you do a mastectomy, the way mine was done, I mean, they take every bit of tissue out. So there was no tissue left. There was just some skin.
Wow.
And they had taken some of the skin off. So in order to do reconstruction, you have to expand the skin. So they put these things in. They're like little balloons that they put in. And then every week or so, you'd go in and they would blow them up a little bit with some silica. I mean, seriously, that's what it's like. They blow them up, they stretch your skin, and then once your skin gets stretched enough, then they can come back, take those out, and then put the implants in.
And now I always wonder.
TMI.
Yeah,
Sean,
now I don't have to watch the How It's Made on Discovery Channel on that one. And it, part of this is, you know, you have the people surrounding your husband, your mom, your family helping you out, but not everybody does.
No, everybody does not have that option. But yet, so many people go through what I did. And then they're faced with, okay, I've done the hospital thing, but now I have to go in and get this treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my first phase of chemo was for 12 weeks, and then the second phase of chemo was 8 weeks.
Mm.
And it's just back and forth and back and forth. And can you imagine if you have to worry about how am I going to get there?
No,
and fortunately, for everybody who finds themselves in that kind of a position, there are answers, and that comes with the American Cancer Society, and it's easy to get in touch with them. If you don't have access to a computer, we can give you the phone number. It's easy. It's an 800 number. It's 800-227-2345.
And they're looking for volunteers to help transport people to and from these treatments.
They do. They need volunteers to help do this transportation program. And then what a great service that would be. You don't have to do it every day. They work with you on what your schedule is. They just need people who are dedicated, who don't have any problems or, you know, no warrants out for them or anything like that.
Right.
Because the American Cancer Society does a complete background check on all of their volunteers so that when you call them to get this ride, you know that you are in good hands, that they are going to get you to and from your treatments and that there will be no problem. So the Cancer Society checks out the volunteers and they work with them then on a schedule to find out when can you work, when can you not, and then they will go back through and schedule you for whichever patients you need to try to get to their treatments.
All right. We will have this information online and we'll share it as well, but 800-227-2345. Gina Gregory, thank you.
Oh, it's always my pleasure, Sean.
All right. We're out of here. Paul Feinbaum Show is on the way next. See you all in the morning for Mobile Mornings.